paranoid. "It's because of us," I guessed. Travis's eyes lit up and he nodded. "What?" I asked, eyeing him suspiciously. "You're right. It's because of us. Don't fall asleep, okay? I want to talk to you about something." He walked backward a few steps, and then disappeared behind the bathroom door. I twisted my hair around my finger, mulling over the way he emphasized the word us, and the look on his face when he'd said it. I wondered if there had ever been lines at all, and if I was the only one that considered Travis and I just friends anymore. Shepley burst out of his room, and America ran after him. "Shep, don't!" she pleaded. He looked back to the bathroom door and then to me. His voice was low but angry. "You promised, Abby. When I told you to spare judgment, I didn't mean for you two to get involved. I thought you were just friends." "We are," I said, shaken by his surprise attack. "No, you're not," he fumed. America touched his shoulder. "Baby, I told you it will be fine." He pulled away from her grip. "Why are you pushing this, Mare? I told you what's going to happen." She grabbed his face with both hands. "And I told you it won't. Don't you trust me?" Shepley sighed, looked at her, at me, and then stomped into his room. America fell into the recliner beside me and puffed. "I just can't get it into his head that whether you and Travis work out or not, it won't affect us. But he's been burned too many times. He doesn't believe me." "What are you talking about, Mare? Travis and I aren't together. We are just friends. You heard him earlier. He's not interested in me that way."
"You heard that?"
"Well, yeah."
"And you believe it?"
I shrugged. "It doesn't matter. It'll never happen. He told me he doesn't see me like that anyway. Besides, he's a total commitment phobe. I'd be hard-pressed to find a girlfriend outside of you that he hasn't slept with, and I can't keep up with his mood swings. I can't believe Shep thinks otherwise."
"Because not only does he know Travis, he's talked to Travis, Abby."
"What do you mean?"
"Mare,"
Shepley called from the bedroom. America sighed. "You're my best friend. I think I know you better than you know yourself sometimes. I see you two together, and the only difference between me and Shep and you and Travis is that we're having sex. Other than that, no difference."
"There is a huge, huge difference. Is Shep bringing home different girls every night? Are you going to the party tomorrow to hang out with a guy with definite dating potential? You know I can't get involved with Travis, Mare. I don't even know why we're discussing it."
America's expression turned to disappointment.
"I'm not seeing things, Abby. You have spent almost every moment with him for the last month. Admit it, you have feelings for him."
"Let it go, Mare," Travis said, tightening his towel around his waist. America and I jumped at the sound of Travis's voice, and when my eyes met his, I could see the happiness was gone. He walked down the hall without another word, and America looked at me with a sad expression.
"I think you're making a mistake," she whispered. "You don't need to go to that party to meet a guy. You've got one that's crazy about you right here," she said, leaving me alone.
I rocked in the recliner, letting everything that had happened in the last week replay in my mind. Shepley was angry with me. America was disappointed in me. And Travis? He went from being happier than I'd ever seen him to so offended that he was speechless. Too nervous to crawl into bed with him, I watched the clock change from minute to minute. An hour had passed when Travis came out of his room and down the hall. When he rounded the corner, I expected him to ask me to come to bed. But he was dressed, and had his bike keys in his hand. His sunglasses were hiding his eyes, and he popped a cigarette in his mouth before grabbing the knob of the door.
"You're leaving?"
I asked, sitting up. "Where are you going?"
"Out," he said, yanking the door open and then slamming it closed behind him.
I fell back in the recliner and huffed. I had somehow become the villain, and had no idea how I'd managed to get there. When the clock above the television read 2 a.m., I finally resigned myself to going to bed. The mattress was lonely without him, and the idea of calling his cell kept creeping into my mind. I had nearly fallen asleep when Travis's motorcycle pulled into the parking lot. Two car doors shut shortly after, and then several pairs of footsteps climbed the stairs. Travis fumbled with the lock, and then the door opened. He laughed and mumbled, and then I heard not one, but two female voices.
Their giggling was interrupted by the distinct sound of kissing and moaning. My heart sank, and I was instantly angry that I felt that way. My eyes clenched shut when one of the girls squealed, and then I was sure the next sound was the three of them collapsing onto the couch. I considered asking America for her keys, but Shepley's door was directly in view of the couch, and I couldn't stomach witnessing the picture that went along with the noises in the living room. I buried my head under the pillow, and then shut my eyes when the door popped open. Travis walked across the room, opened the top night table drawer, picked through his bowl of condoms, and then shut the drawer, jogging down the hall. The girls giggled for what seemed like half an hour, and then it was quiet. Seconds later, moans, humming, and shouting filled the apartment. It sounded as if a pornographic movie was being filmed in the living room. I covered my face with my hands and shook my head. Whatever lines had blurred or disappeared in the last week, an impenetrable stone wall had gone up in their place. I shook off my ridiculous emotions, forcing myself to relax. Travis was Travis, and we were, without a doubt, friends, and only friends. The shouting and other nauseating noises quieted down after an hour, followed by whining and then grumbling by the women after being dismissed. Travis showered and then collapsed onto his side of the bed, turning his back to me. Even after his shower, he smelled like he'd drank enough whiskey to sedate a horse, and I was livid that he'd driven his motorcycle home in such a state. After the awkwardness faded and the anger weakened, I still couldn't sleep. When Travis's breaths were deep and even, I sat up to look at the clock. The sun was going to rise in less than an hour. I ripped the covers off of me, walked down the hall, and took a blanket from the hall cabinet. The only evidence of Travis's threesome was two empty condom packages on the floor. I stepped over them and fell into the recliner. I closed my eyes. When I opened them again, America and Shepley were sitting quietly on the couch, watching a muted television. The sun lit the apartment, and I cringed when my back complained at any attempted movement. America's attention darted to me. "Abby?" she said, rushing to my side. She watched me with wary eyes. She was waiting for anger, or tears, or another emotionally charged outburst. Shepley looked miserable. "I'm sorry about last night, Abby. This is my fault." I smiled. "It's okay, Shep. You don't have to apologize." America and Shepley traded glances, and then she grabbed my hand. "Travis went to the store. He is, it doesn't matter what he is. I packed your stuff, and I'll take you to the dorms before he gets home so you don't have to deal with him." It wasn't until that moment that I felt like crying. I had been kicked out. I worked to keep my voice smooth before I spoke. "Do I have time to take a shower?" America shook her head. "Let's just go, Abby. I don't want you to have to see him. He doesn't deserve to..." The door flew open, and Travis walked in, his arms lined with grocery sacks. He walked straight into the kitchen, furiously working to get the cans and boxes into the cabinets. "When Pidge wakes up, let me know, okay?" he said in a soft voice. "I got spaghetti, and pancakes, and strawberries, and that oatmeal shit with the chocolate packets. And she likes Fruity Pebbles cereal, right, Mare?" he asked, turning. When he saw me, he froze. After an awkward pause, his expression melted, and his voice was smooth and sweet. "Hey, Pigeon." I couldn't have been more confused if I had woken up in a foreign country. Nothing made sense. At first I thought I had been evicted, and then Travis comes home with bags full of my favorite foods. He took a few steps into the living room, nervously shoving his hands in his pockets. "You hungry, Pidge? I'll make you some pancakes. Or there's some oatmeal. And I got you some of that pink foamy shit that girls shave with, and a hairdryer, and just a sec. It's in here," he said, rushing to the bedroom. The door opened, shut, and then he rounded the corner, the color gone from his face. He took a deep breath, and his eyebrows pulled in. "Your stuff's packed." "I know," I said. "You're leaving," he said, defeated. I looked to America, who glowered at Travis as if she could kill him. "You actually expected her to stay?" "Baby," Shepley whispered. Don't fucking start with me, Shep. Don't you dare defend him to me.
America seethed.
Travis looked desperate.
I am so sorry, Pidge. I don't even know what to say.
Come on, Abby, America said. She stood and pulled on my arm.
Travis took a step, but America pointed her finger at him.
So help me God, Travis. If you try to stop her, I will douse you with gasoline and light you on fire while you sleep.
America,
Shepley said, sounding a bit desperate himself. I could see that he was torn between his cousin and the woman he loved, and I felt terrible for him. The situation was exactly what he had tried to avoid all along.
I'm fine,
I said, exasperated by the tension in the room.
What do you mean you're fine?
Shepley asked, almost hopeful.
I rolled my eyes.
Travis brought women home from the bar last night, so what?
America looked worried.
Uh-uh, Abby. Are you saying you're okay with what happened?
I looked to all of them.
Travis can bring home whoever he wants. It's his apartment.
America stared at me as if I'd lost my mind. Shepley was on the verge of a smile, and Travis looked worse than before.
You didn't pack your things?
Travis asked. I shook my head and looked at the clock. It was after 2 in the afternoon.
No, and now I'm going to have to unpack it all. I still have to eat and shower and get dressed,
I said, walking into the bathroom. Once the door closed behind me, I leaned against it and slid down to the floor. I was sure I had pissed off America beyond repair, but I'd made Shepley a promise, and I intended to keep my word. A soft knock on the door tapped above me.
Pidge?
Travis said.
Yeah?
I said, trying to sound normal.
You're staying?
I can go if you want me to.
But a bet's a bet.
The door vibrated with the soft bump of Travis's forehead against the door.
I don't want you to leave, but I wouldn't blame you if you did.
Are you saying I'm released from the bet?
There was a long pause.
If I say yes, will you leave?
Well, yeah. I don't live here, silly, I said, forcing a small laugh.
Then no, the bet's still in effect.
I looked up and shook my head, feeling tears burn my eyes. I had no idea why I was crying, but I couldn't stop.
Can I take a shower now?
Yeah, he sighed. I heard America's shoes enter the hall and stomp by Travis.
You're a selfish bastard, she growled, slamming Shepley's door behind her.
I pushed myself up from the floor, turned on the shower and then undressed, pulling the curtain behind me. After another knock on the door, Travis cleared his throat.
Pigeon? I brought some of your stuff.
Just set it on the sink, I'll get it. Travis walked in and shut the door behind him. I was mad. I heard you spitting out everything that's wrong with me to America and it pissed me off. I just meant to go out and have a few drinks and try to figure some things out. But before I knew it, I was pissed drunk and those girls... He paused. I woke up this morning and you weren't in bed, and when I found you on the recliner and saw the wrappers on the floor, I felt sick.
You could have just asked me, instead of spending all that money at the grocery store just to bribe me to stay.
I don't care about the money, Pidge. I was afraid you'd leave and never speak to me again.
I cringed at his explanation.
I hadn't stopped to think how it would make him feel to hear me talk about how wrong for me he was, and now the situation was too messed up to salvage.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, I said, standing under the water.
I know you didn't. And I know it doesn't matter what I say now, because I fuck things up, just like I always do.
Trav?
Yeah?
Don't drive drunk on your bike anymore, okay?
I waited for a full minute until he finally took a deep breath and spoke.
Yeah. Okay,
he said, shutting the door behind him.
Chapter 5. Parker Hayes.
Come in, I called, hearing a knock on the door.
Travis froze in the doorway.
Wow.
I smiled and looked down at my dress. A bustier that elongated into a short skirt, it was admittedly more daring than I had worn in the past. The material was thin, black, and see-through over a nude shell. Parker would be at that party,
and I had every intention of being noticed.
You look amazing, he said as I slid on my heels.
I gave his white dress shirt and jeans an approving nod.
You look nice too.
His sleeves were bunched above his elbows, revealing the intricate tattoos on his forearms. I noticed that his favorite black leather cuff was around his wrist when he shoved his hands in his pockets. America and Shepley waited for us in the living room.
Parker is going to piss himself when he sees you, America giggled as Shepley led the way to the car.
Travis opened the door, and I slid into the back seat of Shepley's Charger. Although we had occupied that seat countless times before, it was suddenly awkward to sit next to him. Cars lined the street, some even parked in the front lawn. The house was busting at the seams, and people were still walking down the street from the dorms. Shepley pulled onto the grass lot in the back, and America and I followed the boys inside.
Travis brought me a red plastic cup full of beer, and then leaned in to whisper in my ear,
"Don't take these from anyone but me or Shep. I don't want anyone slipping anything in your drink."
I rolled my eyes.
No one is going to put anything in my drink, Travis.
Just don't drink anything that doesn't come from me, okay? You're not in Kansas anymore, Pigeon.
I haven't heard that one before, I said sarcastically, taking a drink. An hour had passed, and Parker was still a no-show. America and Shepley were dancing to a slow song in the living room when Travis tugged on my hand.
Want to dance?
No, thanks, I said.
His face fell.
I touched his shoulder. I'm just tired, Trav.
He put his hand on mine and began to speak, but when I looked beyond him, I saw Parker. Travis noticed my expression and turned.
Hey, Abby! You made it! Parker smiled.
Yeah, we've been here for an hour or so, I said, pulling my hand from under Travis's.
You look incredible! He yelled over the music.
Thanks! I grinned, glancing over to Travis. His lips were pressed together, and a line had formed between his eyebrows.
Parker nodded toward the living room and smiled.
You want to dance?
I wrinkled my nose and shook my head.
Nah, I'm kind of tired.
Parker looked at Travis then.
I thought you weren't coming.
I changed my mind, Travis said, irritated that he had to explain.
I see that, Parker said, looking to me. Want to get some air?
I nodded, and then followed Parker up the stairs. He paused, reaching to take my hand as we climbed to the second floor. When we reached the top, he pushed open a pair of French doors to the balcony.
Are you cold? He asked.
A little chilly, I said, smiling when he pulled off his jacket and covered my shoulders.
Thanks.
You're here with Travis.
We rode together.
Parker's mouth stretched across his face in a broad grin, and then he looked out onto the lawn. A group of girls were in a huddle, arms hooked together to fight the cold. Crepe paper and beer cans littered the grass, along with empty bottles of liquor. Among the clutter, Sig Tau brothers were standing around their masterpiece, a pyramid of kegs decorated with white lights. Parker shook his head.
This place is going to be destroyed in the morning. The cleanup crew is going to be busy.
You have a cleanup crew?
Yeah,
he smiled. We call them freshmen.
Poor Shep.
He's not on it. He gets a pass because he's Travis's cousin, and he doesn't live in the house.
Do you live in the house?
Parker nodded.
The last 2 years. I need to get an apartment, though. I need a quieter place to study.
Let me guess. Business major?
Biology, with a minor in anatomy. I've got one more year left, take the MCAT, and then hopefully I'm off to Harvard Med.
You already know you're in?
My dad went to Harvard. I mean, I don't know for sure, but he's a generous alumnus, if you know what I mean. I carry a 4.0, got a 2200 on my SATs, 36 on my ACTs. I'm in a good position for a spot.
Your dad's a doctor?
Parker confirmed with a good-natured smile.
Orthopedic surgeon.
Impressive.
How about you?
He asked.
Undecided.
Typical freshman answer.
I sighed in dramatic fashion.
I guess I just blew my chances at being exceptional.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. I noticed you the first day of class. What are you doing in Calculus 3 as a freshman?
I smiled and twisted my hair around my finger. Math is sort of easy for me. I packed on the classes in high school and took 2 summer courses at Wichita State.
Now that's impressive, he said.
We stood on the balcony for over an hour, talking about everything from local eateries to how I became such good friends with Travis.
I wouldn't mention it, but the two of you seem to be the topic of conversation.
Great, I murmured.
It's just unusual for Travis.
He doesn't befriend women. He tends to make enemies of them more often than not.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen more than a few that either have short-term memory loss or are all too forgiving when it comes to him.
Parker laughed. His white teeth gleamed against his golden tan.
People just don't understand your relationship. You have to admit it's a bit ambiguous.
Are you asking if I'm sleeping with him?
He smiled.
You wouldn't be here with him if you were. I've known him since I was 14, and I'm well aware of how he operates.
I'm curious about your friendship, though.
It is what it is, I shrugged. We hang out, eat, watch TV, study, and argue. That's about it.
Parker laughed out loud, shaking his head at my honesty.
I've heard you're the only person who's allowed to put Travis in his place. That's an honorable title.
Whatever that means, he's not as bad as everyone makes him out to be.
The sky turned purple, and then pink, as the sun broke above the horizon. Parker looked at his watch, glancing over the railing to the thinning crowd on the lawn.
Looks like the party's over.
I better track down Shep and Mare.
Would you mind if I drove you home? He asked.
I tried to subdue my excitement.
Not at all. I'll let America know.
I walked through the door, and then cringed before turning around.
Do you know where Travis lives?
Parker's thick brown eyebrows pulled in.
Yes? Why?
That's where I'm staying, I said, bracing for his reaction.
You're staying with Travis?
I sort of lost a bet, so I'm there for a month.
A month?
It's a long story, I shrugged sheepishly.
But you two are just friends.
Yes.
Then I'll take you to Travis's. He smiled.
I trotted down the stairs to find America and passed a sullen Travis, who seemed annoyed with the drunken girl speaking to him. He followed me into the hall as I tugged on America's dress.
You guys can go ahead. Parker offered me a ride home.
What? America said with excitement in her eyes.
What? Travis asked, angry.
Is there a problem? America asked him.
He glared at America, and then pulled me around the corner, his jaw flitting under his skin.
You don't even know the guy.
I pulled my arm from his grip.
This is none of your business, Travis.
The hell if it's not. I'm not letting you ride home with a complete stranger. What if he tries something on you?
Good, he's cute.
Travis's expression contorted from surprise to anger, and I braced myself for what he might say next.
Parker Hayes, Pidge? Really?
Parker Hayes. He repeated with disdain.
What kind of name is that anyway?
I crossed my arms.
Stop it, Trav. You're being a jerk.
He leaned in, seeming flustered.
I'll kill him if he touches you.
I like him, I said, emphasizing every word.
He seemed stunned at my confession, and then his features turned severe.
Fine. If he ends up holding you down in the back seat of his car, don't come crying to me.
My mouth popped open, offended and instantly furious.
Don't worry, I won't,
I said, shouldering past him.
Travis grabbed my arm and sighed, peering at me over his shoulder.
I didn't mean it, Pidge. If he hurts you, if he even makes you feel uncomfortable, you let me know.
The anger subsided and my shoulders fell.
I know you didn't, but you have got to curb this overprotective big brother thing you've got going on.
Travis laughed once.
I'm not playing the big brother pigeon.
Not even close.
Parker rounded the corner and pushed his hands inside his pockets, offering his elbow to me.
All set?
Travis clenched his jaw, and I stepped to the other side of Parker to distract him from Travis's expression.
Yeah, let's go.
I took Parker's arm and walked with him a few steps before turning to say goodbye to Travis. But he was glowering at the back of Parker's head, His eyes darted to me, and then his features smoothed.
"Stop it," I said through my teeth, following Parker through the remnants of the crowd to his car.
"I'm the silver one."
The headlights of his car blinked twice when he hit the keyless entry. He opened the passenger side door, and I laughed.
"You drive a Porsche?"
"She's not just a Porsche. She's a Porsche 911 GT3. There's a difference."
"Let me guess, it's the love of your life?" I said, quoting Travis's statement about his motorcycle.
"No. It's a car. The love of my life will be a woman with my last name."
I allowed a small smile, trying not to be overly affected by his sentiment. He held my hand to help me into the car, and when he slid behind the wheel, he leaned his head against his seat and smiled at me.
"What are you doing tonight?"
"Tonight?" I asked.
"It's morning. I want to ask you to dinner before someone else beats me to it."
A grin extended across my face. "I don't have any plans."
"I'll pick you up at 6.
"Okay," I said, watching him slink his fingers between mine. Parker took me straight to Travis's, keeping to the speed limit and my hand in his. He pulled behind the Harley and, like before, opened my door. Once we reached the landing, he leaned down to kiss my cheek.
"Get some rest. I'll see you tonight," he whispered in my ear.
"Bye," I said, turning the knob. When I pushed, the door gave way and I surged forward. Travis grabbed my arm before I fell.
"Easy there, Grace."
I turned to see Parker staring at us with an uncomfortable expression. He leaned over to peer into the apartment.
"Any humiliated, stranded girls in there I need to give a ride?"
Travis glared at Parker.
"Don't start with me."
Parker smiled and winked. "I'm always giving him a hard time.
I don't get to quite as often, since he's realized it's easier if he can get them to drive their own cars."
"I guess that does simplify things," I said, teasing Travis.
"Not funny, Pidge."
"Pidge?" Parker asked.
It's short for pigeon. It's just a nickname. I don't even know where he came up with it," I said. It was the first time I'd felt awkward about the name Travis had bestowed on me the night we met.
"You're going to have to fill me in when you find out. Sounds like a good story," Parker smiled.
"Night, Abby."
"Don't you mean good morning?" I said, watching him trot down the stairs.
"That too," he called back with a sweet smile.
Travis slammed the door, and I had to jerk my head back before it caught me in the face.
"What?"
I snapped. Travis shook his head and walked to his bedroom. I followed him and then hopped on one foot to pull off my heel.
"He's nice, Trav."
He sighed and walked over to me.
"You're gonna hurt yourself," he said, hooking his arm around my waist with one hand and pulling off my heels with the other.
He tossed them into the closet and then pulled off his shirt, making his way to the bed. I unzipped my dress and shimmied it over my hips, kicking it into the corner. I yanked a t-shirt over my head and then unsnapped my bra, pulling it through the sleeve of my shirt. When I wrapped my hair into a bun on top of my head, I noticed him staring.
"I'm sure there's nothing I have that you haven't seen before," I said, rolling my eyes.
I slid under the covers and settled against my pillow, curling into a ball. He unbuckled his belt and pulled his jeans down, stepping out of them. I waited while he stood quietly for a moment. I had my back to him, so I wondered what he was doing, standing beside the bed in silence. The bed concaved when he finally crawled onto the mattress beside me, and I stiffened when his hand rested on my hip.
"I missed a fight tonight," he said. "Adam called. I didn't go."
"Why?" I said, turning to face him.
"I wanted to make sure you got home."
I wrinkled my nose.
"You didn't have to babysit me."
He traced the length of my arm with his finger, sending shivers up my spine.
"I know. I guess I still feel bad about the other night. I told you I didn't care."
He sat up on his elbow, a dubious frown on his face.
"Is that why you slept on the recliner? Because you didn't care?"
"I couldn't fall asleep after your friends left."
"You slept just fine in the recliner. Why couldn't you sleep with me?"
"You mean next to a guy who still smelled like a pair of barflies he had just sent home?
I don't know. How selfish of me.
Travis winced.
I said I was sorry.
And I said I didn't care. Good night, I said, turning over.
Several moments of silence passed. He slid his hand across the top of my pillow, resting his hand on mine. He caressed the delicate pieces of skin between my fingers, and then he pressed his lips against my hair.
As worried as I was that you'd never speak to me again.
I think it's worse that you're indifferent.
My eyes closed. What do you want from me, Travis? You don't want me to be upset about what you did, but you want me to care. You tell America that you don't want to date me, but you get so pissed off when I say the same thing, that you storm out and get ridiculously drunk. You don't make any sense.
Is that why you said those things to America? Because I said I wouldn't date you?
My teeth clenched. He had just insinuated that I was playing games with him. I formed the most direct answer I could think of.
No, I meant what I said. I just didn't mean it as an insult.
I just said that because... He scratched his short hair nervously. I don't want to ruin anything. I wouldn't even know how to go about being who you deserve. I was just trying to get it worked out in my head.
Whatever that means.
I have to get some sleep. I have a date tonight.
With Parker?
He asked, anger seeping through his tone.
Yes, can I please go to sleep?
Sure, he said, shoving himself off the bed and then slamming the door behind him. The recliner squeaked under his weight, and then muffled voices from the television drifted down the hall. I forced my eyes shut and tried to calm down enough to doze off, even if it was just for a few hours. The clock read 3 p.m. when I peeled my eyes open. I grabbed a towel in my robe and then trudged into the bathroom. As soon as I closed the shower curtain, the door opened and shut. I waited for someone to speak, but the only sound was the toilet lid smacking against porcelain.
Travis?
Nope, it's me, America said.
Do you have to pee in here? You have your own bathroom.
Shep has been in there for half an hour with the beer shits. Not going in there.
Nice.
I hear you have a date tonight. Travis is pissed, she lilted.
At 6. He is so sweet, America. He's just...
I trailed off, sighing. I was gushing, and it wasn't like me to gush. I kept thinking about how perfect he had been since the moment we'd met. He was exactly what I needed. The polar opposite of Travis.
Rendered you speechless? She giggled.
I poked my head from the curtain.
I didn't want to come home. I could have talked to him forever.
Sounds promising. Isn't it kind of weird that you're here, though? I ducked under the water, rinsing away the suds.
I explained it to him.
The toilet flushed, and the faucet turned on, making the water flash cold for a moment. I cried out and the door flew open.
Pidge? Travis said.
America laughed.
I just flushed the toilet, Trav. Calm down.
Oh. You all right, Pigeon?
I'm great. Get out.
The door shut again and I sighed.
Is it too much to ask for locks on the doors?
America didn't answer.
Mayor?
It's really too bad you two couldn't get on the same page. You're the only girl that could have... She sighed.
Never mind. It doesn't matter now.
I turned off the water and wrapped myself in a towel.
You're as bad as he is. It's a sickness. No one here makes sense.
You're pissed at him, remember?
I know, she nodded.
I turned on my new hairdryer and began the process of primping for my date with Parker. I curled my hair and painted my nails and lips a deep shade of red. It was a bit much for a first date. I frowned at myself in the mirror. It wasn't Parker I was trying to impress. I wasn't in a position to be insulted when Travis accused me of playing games after all. Taking one last glance at myself in the mirror, guilt washed over me. Travis was trying so hard, and I was being a stubborn brat. I walked out into the living room, and Travis smiled, not the reaction I expected at all.
You are beautiful.
Thank you, I said, rattled by the absence of irritation or jealousy in his voice. Shepley whistled.
Nice choice, Abby. Guys dig red.
And the curls are gorgeous, America added. The doorbell chimed and America smiled, waving with exaggerated excitement. Have fun! I opened the door. Parker held a small bouquet of flowers, wearing slacks and a tie. His eyes did a quick once-over, from my dress to my shoes and then back up. You are the most beautiful creature I've ever seen, he said, enamored. I looked behind me to wave to America, whose smile was so wide I could see every one of her teeth. Shepley had the expression of a proud father, and Travis kept his eyes on the television. Parker held out his hand, leading me to his shiny Porsche. Once we were inside, he let out a puff of air. What? I asked. I have to say, I was a bit nervous about picking up the woman Travis Maddox is in love with, from his apartment. You don't know how many people have accused me of insanity today. Travis is not in love with me. He can barely stand to be near me sometimes. Then it's a love-hate relationship? Because when I broke it to my brothers that I was taking you out tonight, they all said the same thing. He's been behaving so erratically, even more than usual, that they've all come to the same conclusion. They're wrong, I insisted. Parker shook his head, as if I were utterly clueless. He rested his hand on mine. We better go. I have a table waiting. Where? Biasetti's. I took a chance. I hope you like Italian. I raised one eyebrow. Wasn't it short notice for reservations? That place is always packed. Well, it's our restaurant. Half, anyway. I like Italian. Parker drove to the restaurant at exactly the speed limit, using his turn signal appropriately and slowing at a reasonable rate for each yellow light. When we spoke, he barely took his eyes from the road. When he arrived at the restaurant, I giggled. What? He asked. You're just a very cautious driver. It's a good thing. Different from the back of Travis's motorcycle? He smiled. I should have laughed, but the difference didn't feel like a good thing. Let's not talk about Travis tonight, okay? Fair enough, he said, leaving his seat to open my door. We were seated right away at a table by a large bay window. Although I was in a dress, I looked impoverished compared to the other women in the restaurant. They were dripping in diamonds and wearing cocktail dresses. I'd never eaten anywhere so swanky. We ordered, and Parker closed his menu, smiling at the waiter. And bring us a bottle of the Allegrini Amarone, please. Yes, sir, the waiter said, taking our menus. This place is unbelievable, I whispered, leaning against the table. His green eyes softened. Thank you. I'll let my father know you think so. A woman approached our table. Her hair was pulled into a tight blonde French bun, a gray streak interrupting the smooth wave of her bangs. I tried not to stare at the sparkling jewels resting around her neck, or those swaying back and forth on her ears, but they were made to be noticed. Her squinty blue eyes targeted me. She quickly turned away to look at my date. Who's your friend, Parker? Mother, this is Abby Abernathy. Abby, this is my mother, Vivian Hayes. I extended my hand and she shook it once. In a well-practiced move, interest lit the sharp features of her face, and she looked to Parker. Abernathy? I gulped, worried that she had recognized the name. Parker's expression turned impatient. She's from Wichita, Mom. You don't know her family. She goes to Eastern. Oh? Vivian eyed me again. Parker's leaving next year for Harvard. That's what he said. I think that's great. You must be very proud. The tension around her eyes smoothed a bit, and the corners of her mouth turned up in a smug grin. We are. Thank you. I was amazed at how her words were so polite, and yet they dripped with insult. It wasn't a talent she had developed overnight. Mrs. Hayes must have spent years impressing her superiority upon others. It's good to see you, Mom. Good night. She kissed his cheek, rubbed the lipstick off with her thumb, and then returned to her table. Sorry about that. I didn't know she would be here. It's fine. She seems nice. Parker laughed. Yes, for a piranha. I stifled a giggle, and he offered an apologetic smile. She'll warm up. It just takes her a while. Hopefully by the time you leave for Harvard... We talked endlessly about the food, Eastern, calculus, and even about the circle. Parker was charming, funny, and said all the right things. Various people approached Parker to greet him, and he always introduced me with a proud smile. He was regarded as a celebrity within the walls of the restaurant, and when we left, I felt the appraising eyes of everyone in the room.
"Now what?" I asked.
"I'm afraid I have a midterm in comparative vertebrate anatomy first thing Monday morning. I have some studying to do," he said, covering my hand with his.
"Better you than me," I said, trying not to seem too disappointed.
He drove to the apartment, and then led me up the stairs by the hand.
"Thank you, Parker." I was aware of the ridiculous grin on my face. "I had a fantastic time."
"Is it too early to ask for a second date?"
"Not at all," I beamed.
"I'll call you tomorrow."
"Sounds perfect."
Then came the moment of awkward silence. The element of dates I dread. To kiss or not to kiss. I hated that question. Before I had a chance to wonder whether he would kiss me or not, he touched each side of my face and pulled me to him, pressing his lips against mine. They were soft and warm and wonderful. He pulled back once, and then kissed me again.
"Talk to you tomorrow, Abs."
I waved, watching him walk down the steps to his car.
"Bye."
Once again, when I turned the knob, the door yanked away and I fell forward. Travis caught me and I regained my footing.
"Would you stop that?" I said, closing the door behind me.
"Abs, what are you, a workout video?" he sneered.
"Pigeon," I said with the same amount of disdain. "An annoying bird that craps all over the sidewalk."
"You like pigeon," he said defensively.
"It's a dove, an attractive girl, a winning card in poker. Take your pick.
You're my pigeon."
I grabbed his arm to remove my heels, and then walked to his room. As I changed into my pajamas, I tried my best to stay mad at him. Travis sat on the bed and crossed his arms.
"Did you have a good time?"
"I had," sigh, "a fantastic time. A perfect time. He's..."
I couldn't think of an adequate word to describe him, so I just shook my head.
"He kissed you?"
I pressed my lips together and nodded.
"He's got really soft lips."
Travis recoiled.
"I don't care what kind of lips he has."
"Trust me, it's important. I get so nervous with first kisses too, but this one wasn't so bad."
"You get nervous about a kiss?" he asked, amused.
"Just first kisses. I loathe them."
"I'd loathe them, too, if I had to kiss Parker Hayes."
I giggled and left for the bathroom to scrub the makeup from my face. Travis followed, leaning against the door jamb.
"So you're going out again?"
"Yep. He's calling me tomorrow."
I dried my face and scampered down the hall, hopping into the bed. Travis stripped down to his boxers and sat down with his back to me. A bit slumped over, he looked exhausted. The lean muscles of his back stretched as he did, and he glanced back at me for a moment.
"If you had such a good time, why are you home so early?"
"He has a big test on Monday."
Travis wrinkled his nose.
"Who cares?
He's trying to get into Harvard. He has to study."
He huffed, crawling onto his stomach. I watched him shove his hands under his pillow, seeming irritated.
"Yeah, that's what he keeps telling everyone."
"Don't be an ass. He has priorities. I think it's responsible."
"Shouldn't his girl top his priorities?"
"I'm not his girl. We've been on one date, Trav," I scolded.
"So what did you guys do?"
I shot him a dirty look and he laughed.
"What? I'm curious."
Seeing that he was sincere, I described everything. From the restaurant, to the food, to the sweet and funny things Parker said. I knew my mouth was frozen in a ridiculous grin, but I couldn't stop smiling while describing my perfect evening. Travis watched me with an amused smile while I blathered on, even asking questions. Although he seemed frustrated with the situation regarding Parker, I had the distinct feeling that he enjoyed seeing me so happy. Travis settled in on his side of the bed, and I yawned. We stared at each other for a moment before he sighed.
"I'm glad you had a good time, Pidge. You deserve it."
"Thanks," I grinned.
The ringtone of my cell phone reverberated from the night table, and I jerked up to look at the display.
Hello?
It's tomorrow, Parker said. I looked at the clock and laughed. It was 12:01.
It is.
So what about Monday night? He asked. I covered my mouth for a moment, and then took a deep breath.
Yeah. Monday night is great.
Good. I'll see you Monday, he said. I could hear the smile in his voice. I hung up and glanced at Travis, who watched with mild annoyance. I turned away from him and curled into a ball, tensing with excitement.
You're such a girl,
Travis said, turning his back to me. I rolled my eyes. He turned over, pulling me to face him.
You really like Parker?
Don't ruin this for me, Travis. He stared at me for a moment, and then shook his head, turning away once again.
Parker Hayes.
Chapter 6. Turning Point. Monday night's date met my every expectation. We ate Chinese food while I giggled at Parker's skills with chopsticks. When he brought me home, Travis opened the door before he could kiss me. When we went out the following Wednesday night, Parker made sure to kiss me in the car. Thursday at lunch, Parker met me in the cafeteria and surprised everyone when he sat in Travis's spot. When Travis finished his cigarette and came inside, he walked past Parker with indifference, sitting at the end of the table. Megan approached him, but was instantly disappointed when he waved her off. Everyone at the table was quiet after that, and I found it difficult to focus on anything Parker talked about.
I'm assuming I just wasn't invited, Parker said, catching my attention.
What?
I heard your birthday party's on Sunday. I wasn't invited? America peeked at Travis, who glared at Parker as if he was seconds away from mowing him down.
It was a surprise party, Parker, America said softly.
Oh, Parker said, cringing.
You're throwing me a surprise party? I asked America.
She shrugged. It was Trav's idea. It's at Brazil's on Sunday, 6:00.
Parker's cheeks flushed a faint red. I suppose I'm really not invited now.
No, of course you are, I said, holding his hand on top of the table.
12 pairs of eyes zeroed in on our hands. I could see that Parker was just as uncomfortable with the attention as I was, so I let go and pulled my hands onto my lap.
Parker stood up. I have a few things I need to do before class. I'll call you later.
Okay, I said, offering an apologetic smile.
Parker leaned over the table and kissed my lips. The silence was cafeteria-wide, and America elbowed me after Parker walked out.
Isn't it creepy how everyone watches you? She whispered.
She glanced around the room with a frown.
What? America yelled. Mind your business, perverts!
One by one, heads turned away, and murmuring ensued. I covered my eyes with my hands.
You know, before it was pathetic, because I was thought to be Travis's poor, clueless girlfriend. Now I'm evil because everyone thinks I'm bouncing back and forth between Travis and Parker like a ping-pong ball.
When America didn't comment, I looked up.
What? Don't tell me you're buying into that crap, too.
I didn't say anything, she said.
I stared at her in disbelief.
But that's what you think?
America shook her head, but she didn't speak. The icy stares from the other students were suddenly apparent, and I stood up, walking to the end of the table.
We need to talk, I said, tapping Travis's shoulder.
I tried to sound polite, but the anger bubbling inside me put an edge to my words. The entire student populace, including my best friend, thought I was juggling two men. There was only one solution.
So talk, Travis said, popping something breaded and fried in his mouth.
I fidgeted, noticing the curious eyes of everyone within earshot. When Travis still didn't move, I grabbed his arm and gave it a good tug. He stood up and followed me outside with a grin on his face.
What, Pidge?
He said, looking at my hand on his arm, and then at me.
You've got to let me out of the bet, I begged.
His face fell.
You want to leave? Why? What'd I do? You didn't do anything, Trav. Haven't you noticed everyone staring? I'm quickly becoming the pariah of Eastern U.
Travis shook his head and lit a cigarette.
Not my problem.
Yes, it is. Parker said everyone thinks he has a death wish because you're in love with me.
Travis's eyebrows shot up and he choked on the puff of smoke he'd just inhaled.
People are saying that?
He said between coughs.
I nodded.
He looked away with wide eyes, taking another drag.
Travis, you have to release me from the bet. I can't date Parker and live with you at the same time. It looks terrible.
So quit dating Parker.
I glared at him. That's not the problem and you know it.
Is that the only reason you want to leave? Because of what people are saying?
At least before it was Clueless and you were the bad guy, I grumbled.
Answer the question, Pidge.
Yes!
Travis looked beyond me to the students entering and leaving the cafeteria. He was deliberating, and I grew impatient while he took his time making his decision. Finally, he stood tall, resolved.
No.
I shook my head, sure that I had misunderstood.
Excuse me?
No.
You said so yourself. A bet's a bet. After the month's up, you'll be off with Parker, he'll become a doctor, you'll get married and have your 2.5 children, and I'll never see you again.
He grimaced at his own words. I still have 3 weeks. I'm not giving that up for lunchroom gossip. I looked through the glass window to see the entire cafeteria watching us. The unwelcome attention made my eyes burn. I shouldered past him to walk to my next class.
Pigeon!
Travis called after me. I didn't turn around.
That night, America sat on the tile floor of the bathroom, babbling about the boys while I stood in front of the mirror and pulled my hair into a ponytail. I was only half listening, thinking about how patient Travis had been. For Travis, knowing he didn't like the idea of Parker picking me up from his apartment every other night. The expression on Travis's face flashed in my mind when I asked him to let me out of the bet, and again when I told him people were saying he was in love with me. I couldn't stop wondering why he didn't deny it.
Well, Shep thinks you're being too hard on him. He's never had anyone he's cared enough to...
Travis poked his head in and smiled as he watched me fuss with my hair.
Want to grab dinner?
He asked. America stood up to look at herself in the mirror, combing her fingers through her golden hair.
Shep wants to check out that new Mexican place downtown if you guys want to go.
Travis shook his head.
I thought me and Pidge could go alone tonight.
I'm going out with Parker.
Again?
He said, annoyed.
Again?
I said in a sing-song voice.
The doorbell rang, and I hurried past Travis to open the door. Parker stood in front of me, his naturally wavy blonde hair sitting atop his clean-shaven face.
Do you ever look less than gorgeous?
Parker asked.
Based on the first time she came over here, I'm going to say yes, Travis said from behind me.
I rolled my eyes and smiled, holding up a finger to Parker to signal him to wait. I turned and threw my arms around Travis. He stiffened with surprise, and then relaxed, pulling me tight against him. I looked into his eyes and smiled.
Thanks for organizing my birthday party. Can I take a rain check on dinner?
A dozen emotions scrolled across Travis's face, and then the corners of his mouth turned up.
Tomorrow?
I squeezed him and grinned.
Absolutely.
I waved to him as Parker grabbed my hand.
What was that about?
Parker asked.
We haven't been getting along lately. That was my version of an olive branch.
Should I be worried?
He asked, opening my door.
No.
I kissed his cheek.
At dinner, Parker talked about Harvard, and the house, and his plans to search for an apartment. His eyebrows pulled in.
Will Travis be escorting you to your birthday party?
I'm not really sure. He hasn't said anything about it.
If he doesn't mind, I'd like to take you. He took my hand in his and kissed my fingers.
I'll ask him. The party was his idea, so...
I understand. If not, I'll just see you there. He smiled.
Parker took me to the apartment, slowing to a stop in the parking lot. When he kissed me goodbye, his lips lingered on mine. He yanked up the parking brake as his lips traveled along the ridge of my jaw to my ear, and then halfway down my neck. It took me off guard, and I let out a quiet sigh in response.
You are so beautiful,
he whispered.
I've been distracted all night with your hair pulled away from your neck.
He peppered my neck with kisses, and I exhaled, a hum escaping with my breath.
What took you so long?
I smiled, lifting my chin to give him better access. Parker focused on my lips. He grabbed each side of my face, kissing me a bit firmer than usual. We didn't have much room in the car, but we made the space available work to our advantage. He leaned against me and I bent my knee as I fell against the window. His tongue slipped inside my mouth, and his hand grabbed my ankle and then slid up my leg to my thigh. The windows fogged within minutes with our labored breath, sticking to the cool windows. His lips grazed my collarbone, and then his head jerked up when the glass vibrated with several loud thumps. Parker sat up, and I righted myself, adjusting my dress. I jumped when the door flew open. Travis and America stood beside the car. America wore a sympathetic frown, and Travis seemed just short of flying into a blind rage. "What the hell, Travis?" Parker yelled. The situation suddenly felt dangerous. I'd never heard Parker raise his voice. Travis's knuckles were white as he balled them into fists at his sides. And I was in the way. America's hand seemed tiny when she placed it on Travis's bulky arm, shaking her head at Parker in silent warning. "Come on, Abby, I need to talk to you," she said.
"About what? Just come on," she snapped.
I looked at Parker, seeing the irritation in his eyes.
"I'm sorry, I have to go."
"No, it's fine. Go ahead." Travis helped me from the Porsche and then kicked the door shut. I flipped around and stood between him and the car, shoving his shoulder.
"What is wrong with you? Knock it off!"
America seemed nervous. It didn't take long to figure out why. Travis reeked of whiskey. She had insisted on accompanying him, or he'd asked her to come. Either way, she was a deterrent to violence. The wheels of Parker's shiny Porsche squealed out of the parking lot, and Travis lit a cigarette.
"You can go in now, Mayor."
She tugged on my skirt.
"Come on, Abby."
"Why don't you stay, Abs?" he seethed.
I nodded for America to go ahead, and she reluctantly complied. I crossed my arms, ready for a fight, preparing myself to lash out at him after the inevitable lecture. Travis took several drags from his cigarette, and when it was obvious that he wasn't going to explain, my patience ran out.
"Why did you do that?" I asked. "Why? Because he was mauling you in front of my apartment," he yelled.
His eyes were unfocused, and I could see that he was incapable of rational conversation. I kept my voice calm.
"I may be staying with you, but what I do and who I do it with is my business."
He flicked his cigarette to the ground.
"You're so much better than that, Pidge. Don't let him fuck you in a car like a cheap prom date." "I wasn't going to have sex with him."
He gestured to the empty space where Parker's car sat.
"What were you doing then?"
"Haven't you ever made out with someone, Travis? Haven't you just messed around without letting it get that far?"
He frowned and shook his head as if I were speaking gibberish.
"What's the point in that?"
"The concept exists for a lot of people, especially those that date."
"The windows were all fogged up, the car was bouncing. How was I supposed to know?"
he said, waving his arms in the direction of the empty parking slot.
"Maybe you shouldn't spy on me."
He rubbed his face and shook his head.
"I can't stand this, Pigeon. I feel like I'm going crazy."
I threw up my hands and let them hit my thighs.
"You can't stand what?" "If you sleep with him, I don't want to know about it. I'll go to prison for a long time if I find out he... Just don't tell me."
"Travis," I seethed, "I can't believe you just said that. That's a big step for me."
"That's what all girls say."
"I don't mean the sluts you deal with, I mean me," I said, holding my hand to my chest. "I haven't..."
"Ugh!
Never mind."
I walked away from him, but he grabbed my arm, twirling me around to face him.
"You haven't what?"
he asked, weaving a bit. I didn't answer. I didn't have to. I could see the recognition light up his face, and he laughed once.
"You're a virgin?"
"So what?" I said, the blood under my cheeks igniting. His eyes drifted from mine, in and out of focus as he tried to think through the whiskey.
"That's why America was so sure it wouldn't get too far.
I had the same boyfriend all 4 years of high school. He was an aspiring Baptist youth minister. It never came up.
Travis's anger vanished, and relief was apparent in his eyes.
A youth minister? What happened after all that hard-earned abstinence?